morning, brethren and sisters in and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to begin this morning by recounting an event that took place some years ago, and particularly the statement that was made in our family doctor's office. I was there with our beloved brother Gar. The conversation centered around medications and what could be done to help his condition as he was coping, as many do in the senior years, with the trials and difficulties of health. And the concept was there anything else that could be done to help and to assist and so on. And then at a given point during that discussion, the family doctor said this. He said, "Mr. Robinson," he said, "there are certain things in life we must do for ourselves. There are certain things in life we must do for ourselves." I want us to remember that statement as we move through the word of exhortation this morning, brothers and sisters, because it contains, although the doctor didn't know that, a biblical principle. And we know that in life, in general, which the doctor's point was coming from, that if we wish to succeed, if we wish to overcome, if we wish to be able to get things done, we can't sit back and expect that it'll kind of happen and look around and maybe it'll be this that'll come and help or whatever. Yes, those parts are in there. But he made it very clear that we have to be active ourselves in accomplishing the goal that is set before us. And I'd like us to bear that statement in mind. There are certain things in life that we must do for ourselves as we consider the theme of our fellowship this morning in the presence of Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we have come to remember. We begin this morning in the book of Acts. Actually, it's tomorrow's reading, Acts chapter 2. And we have a very glorious and happy scene here. It's in the first century. And what we have here, brethren and sisters, is a very powerful exhortation as to what was taking place and why there was this state of gladness and singleness of heart. We go in at verse 41. We'll just read a couple of three verses together. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And then we focus on verse 42. "And they," that's the first century ecclesia, "brethren and sisters in Christ, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." And then just dropping over to verse 46, we read, "And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." So we have here, brethren and sisters, an account, a divine account of first century ecclesial fellowship and the activities surrounding that fellowship. It was a scene of blessedness and joy. Now just to go back for a moment and have a little closer look. The first statement is made in verse 42. And now we extrapolate from this the word of exhortation for us here this morning and in our lives. It says, "And they continued," how? They continued steadfastly. Steadfastly. There was a zeal, brethren and sisters. They were devoted. They were involved in ecclesial life and in their fellowship. They continued steadfastly. There were certain things they were doing for themselves. And that was their participation, their involvement in the next item on the list. And they continued steadfastly, first and foremost, in the apostles' doctrine. In the apostles' doctrine teachings, first and foremost, there had to be the basis, brethren and sisters, the foundation for anything else that would take place in ecclesial life. a correct basis. They had for their foundation the apostles' doctrine. It was upon this foundation, and only upon this foundation, that they had the next item, wherein they continued steadfastly in fellowship. In fellowship. There was a unity, there was a oneness of mind and purpose amongst them that set the basis for their fellowship. And as we saw in verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord, with one accord in their fellowship. And then comes number three, the very focal point of all fellowship, the highest form of fellowship that we can achieve, in the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread, they continued steadfastly in. Each and every opportunity that they had, they would be there around the emblems, remembering who it was that gave his life for them. Their fellowship was based upon the truth of the apostles' doctrine. And none other, the truth of the apostles' doctrine. Things concerning the name of Jesus Christ and of the kingdom of God. And finally, number four, they continued steadfastly in prayers. It was an integral part of first century ecclesial life and fellowship, personal and communal prayers. We need to note, it needs to be stressed, brothers and sisters, that there was a unity of mind. A unity of mind, a oneness of purpose that bound these disciples of Christ together in their fellowship. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Shortly, we are going to participate in the breaking of bread service together, brothers and sisters. We want to just for a moment go into 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to just reiterate a few of the verses that are commonly read to us prior to the breaking of bread. Verse 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. How on earth could that be possible, really, truly? It's in the divine text. We need to ask ourselves, yes, how could that be possible? Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh condemnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're being reminded here, brethren and sisters, there is a need for discernment when it comes to these matters, when it comes to the matter of our fellowship and this, the highest form of our fellowship, the need for discernment. Where are we at? What is our thinking? What is our concept of the things that bind us together? What is our fellowship all about? And we want to stress, brethren and sisters, that fellowship must begin and has to take place long before we come through those doors on a Sunday morning. Long before we come through those doors on a Sunday morning. Come with me to 1 John chapter 1. It's a very short, succinct, and powerful first chapter of the Epistle of John. And we want to just review a few things here to help us with our understanding of what fellowship has to be all about in the presence of Almighty God. We're told in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. First and foremost, brethren and sisters, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, and then with the ecclesia. And we want to be very, very clear that it is God who establishes the basis for all fellowship, the principles of fellowship, the outworking of fellowship, as he calls for those who worship or fellowship him in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. That's taken from John 4:24, which we won't go to. And so it becomes our duty, our responsibility to seek the Father and the Son in fellowship, for it is a partnership. It is a sharing in common where and only where a oneness of mind must exist, the mind of Christ. Verse 4 in 1 John chapter 1 extols for us the beauty and the blessings of proper fellowship. These things write we unto you, that your or our joy may be full or fulfilled. And we must stress there is a joy and a blessing in proper fellowship, a oneness of mind and purpose. It's amazing what can be accomplished when that's in place. Then we come to verse 5. As we just research and remind ourselves of this meaning of fellowship. Because we're living in a world where there are many, many other views and concepts, brethren and sisters, are they affecting us by any chance? It says in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God, the source of all light, the source of all truth. That's our basis, brothers and sisters. That's the basis for divine fellowship. Then we come to verses 6 and 7. As we gain the exhortation regarding these things. If we say that we have fellowship with him. Ah, but we do, don't we? Every last one of us would claim we are in fellowship and that we have fellowship with God, right? Right. The divine text here says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Was there any need for this to be written? I mean, isn't this a bit carrying things a bit much? After all, we're all in fellowship, are we not? Are we? This is the writing of the elder beloved apostle John. And we're reading straight out of Scripture. This is not Brother Fred's interpretation here this morning. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So, brothers and sisters, we want to be bearing these things in mind. We go on in verse 7, but if we walk in the light, it says, if we walk in the light. You notice just the smallest of little words have such powerful meaning. If we walk in the light, it's not an automatic, taken for granted thing. It says, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, a reference back to God himself, we have fellowship one with another. And then comes an extremely important aspect, one that I hear seldom mentioned. It says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We want to be very aware, brethren and sisters, there's nothing automatic about the cleansing of sin by being here on a Sunday morning partaking of the emblems. There are certain things in life that we must do for ourselves 7 days a week in order to establish that fellowship that we want to be a part of. And here are the two contrasts in front of us, the darkness and the light, and a warning about the possibility of walking in darkness. Brothers and sisters, for those of us who are privileged, and I'm sorry there weren't a whole lot more here on Thursday night, we had two brethren speak to us. Our present chairman gave his thoughts on the daily Bible readings. And then our brother Jeff Hibbs spoke to us about the prophet Elijah and the time surrounding that time, the events surrounding that time. Do we recall what Brother Jeff brought to our attention? It ties in perfectly with what we are saying this morning. Two choices were before the nation at that time. It was either God or Baal, light or darkness. And the prophet of God was sent to challenge him and to ask the question, how long halt ye between two opinions? Was there any need for that? I mean, really, isn't that a bit heavy? No, not heavy at all. The prophet was sent to appeal to them. And Brother Jeff walked us through very capably, drawing our attention that there is agitation and lessons for us because the same God exists in our presence today and the same challenge is there. Which is it? Are we with God in the light? Is there any chance we're with Baal and the darkness of Egypt in our lives? These things are in Scripture, brethren and sisters, for our instruction in righteousness, not just to fill up pages and make the book a bigger and thicker one. And we want to be aware of it. And we thank our brother Jeff for those words of exhortation and Bible class study. We claim to be in fellowship with God, brethren and sisters, and that's all well and good if we are in fact walking in the light as best as we can. There will be the moments of failure and falling. That's not the key point here. One of the things that stood out in Brother Jeff's comments on Thursday was the fact it's not the big things necessarily. Yes, they're a part of what we need to be aware of and where we're at. Is it here or is it there? He drew our attention to all the little things that become ritualistic and commonplace in daily life. And he drew our attention to the fact that that is in fact what decides where we're at. And I concur 110%. It's the way of life that decides, are we up here or are we down there? So we want to be aware of these things, dear brothers and sisters, because there's one more facet here that is extremely important, and that is that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin if we are in fellowship truly with God. Not some ritualistic performance. There must be fellowship with God in order for that to be efficacious in our life. So we need to spend our time discussing and going over what is light and what is darkness. Those are the challenges that we need to be facing. What is light and what is darkness? Are we up to it? Can we meet these things? Come back into Ephesians chapter 5. Just a bit of word of exhortation out of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Ecclesia at Ephesus. Verse 8 of Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 8, "For ye were sometimes darkness." That was a former estate, brothers and sisters. "There were sometimes darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord." So, is it automatic? Done certain things, been baptized, we're in the Lord, it's all done. There are certain things we must do for ourselves in light. And it comes right there in the next statement. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove or expose them." out of Scripture, brothers and sisters. I'm reading right out of Scripture. No spins, no personal interpretations. So, what is light and what is darkness? Light is divine truth. Light is the glory of God, the righteousness of God. Light is the source of power that can save. Light is, in fact, the Holy Scriptures. There is no other source. See, what we want to try and impress this morning from that statement made in the doctor's office, coupled with our fellowship, is this. Things don't just come automatically because we got baptized one day somewhere. All that's important. That has to be in place. It doesn't mean that we are fully in fellowship just because our name is on a register that Sister Pat marks up every Sunday morning. Because we are a Christadelphian, that's just a name that identifies us and the world around us. Or because we come and sit on a seat on Sunday morning and take the emblems. Fellowship is a far, far greater issue. It requires that there are certain things in life that we must do for ourselves. And at the very top of the list is being here on a Sunday morning without fail, unless sickness, inability due to old age, or possibly those who have to work, and we hope that that's not a full-time thing, we're here on Sunday morning. How could we be anywhere else on Sunday morning? Sunday night, Thursday Bible class. How could we be anywhere else? Ask ourselves, each one of us, if we're not here, where are we and why? The strength of the ecclesia, brothers and sisters, is built upon true fellowship. Not mechanical things that take place and sometimes dropped right away with. We need to be aware that our fellowship must be in place 7 days a week, as our brother Jeff reminded us on Thursday. It doesn't just take place because we walk through those doors this morning. It's got to be in place long before that. And it's this matter of where are we at? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The beloved Apostle Paul again speaking to us, verses 9 and 10. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's the basis for true fellowship. No divisions, that ye perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. We're living in an age where we're being taught and it's being promulgated that it's an individualistic thing. Freedom. In the humanistic world, brothers and sisters, the divine word tells us that we have to be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment upon the fundamental issues surrounding our fellowship. Unity of mind, unity of purpose, unity of judgment. So we go over a few pages into 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Thank you for turning these quotes up, brothers and sisters, because our aim is to quote from the Word of God. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to brothers and sisters, just like we are. They had brothers and sisters in their ecclesia in Corinth at that time. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? The rhetorical questions are easily answered. The answer is none whatsoever. They don't mix. They don't blend. Oh, we try to make them. What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 17, here we are. Certain things that we must do for ourselves. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. And after that, I will receive you. And will be. Not automatic. There are things that have to be in place. And he says, I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty, upon the basis of coming out of darkness and walking in light. Verse 1 of chapter 7 completes this particular little text. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, that's the part God has done. The promises are in place. They are sure. They are steadfast. So we've got it made, haven't we? Everything's done for us. Oh, we need to read the rest of the verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do we believe it? Do we believe these things? I'm sorry to have to say that from my perspective, I see us moving away from them. Separation from the world is something we seldom talk about anymore. It's not comfortable. We don't like it because the ecumenical spirit is moving within us in the brotherhood. Back east, the disgraceful situation of fellowship is in shipwreck. Because we've got multitudes of ideas and concepts. We'll talk about that later, God willing, when we come to our Bible class series. Certain things that we must do if we wish to be in fellowship with Almighty God. This is no light and easy trucking along in life, brethren and sisters. It's heavy duty responsibility. And we can do it. There are those who do, and we shall do it. If we put our minds to it, we can do it. 7 days a week, though. 7 days a week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, we're going to go there in a moment to find out what was written aforetime for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Oh, yes, that blessed hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded. Oh, grant you to be like-minded one toward another. On what basis? On what basis like-minded one toward another? According to Christ Jesus. There's the basis. Wherefore, receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Come back to Genesis chapter 6, please, brothers and sisters. Genesis chapter 6. We're living in the end times, and we're told that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the Son of Man. So what do we need to be aware of? Come to Genesis chapter 6. What have we got here, brothers and sisters? And oh no, it's not some story about this big, huge boat that was built and all the animals went into it, and we wonder how they got fed and how they coped with bathroom matters. Please, we need to elevate ourselves far above the stories of Scripture. Yes, they're there. But what is Genesis chapter 6 all about? It's about a time of gross and utter darkness upon the face of the earth. That's what it's about. And that involved the sons of God. In verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them in wives of all that they chose. There was an intermingling. There was a mix. There was no sharp contrast between light and darkness, except for one man and his family. And brethren and sisters, I didn't write this divine account. I did not write this. It's there for our instruction in righteousness. World full of darkness. There must have been lots of good people in Noah's time, good living people. God destroyed them. Is he unfair? Is he unjust in his judgments? No, because there's principles God works with. And we want to be aware of what those principles are. Down in verse 8 it says, But in contrast to all of this darkness, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, so is God one of these types that just looks around and, I kind of like this guy. I'm going to pick him to look after him. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Do we know why? Verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Upright, perfect in his generations. And here we are, brothers and sisters, one of the first recordings of true fellowship. It says, and Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God. Noah had fellowship with his God, true fellowship. In the midst of all of this darkness that would permeate and infiltrate and come into their lives, if they let it, says that Noah walked with God. And as a result of that, brethren and sisters, as we come over to the last verse of the sixth chapter, it says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. There were certain things in his life Noah was doing for himself and for his family. Now we come to verse 1 of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Brothers and sisters, those are the words of salvation. I'm going to save you, Noah. Why? On what basis? Because I just kind of like you. Your family's always been kind of nice and special. It says, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. In the midst of that darkness, permeating the world, the entire society, just as we have it today, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the time of the return of Christ. Thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Noah was in fellowship with his God because he walked in the light of God. These things are written for our instruction in righteousness, dear brothers and sisters. So we need to ask ourselves, where do I stand in this matter of fellowship as outlined in Scripture? It's not a man-made order. Oh, we've turned it into a man-made order. Yes, fellowship is a God-made order. We want to never forget that. So what are my personal contributions? I have to ask that myself, and I'm asking each one of us to ask ourselves. What are our contributions to fellowship, to the light of God's truth? Are they of light, or are they of darkness? Do I contribute to the unity, the oneness of mind and purpose, and judgment in God's ecclesia? For if we do, brethren and sisters, if we endorse and fulfill God's requirements, we shall know joy and fulfillment and a cohesiveness that will bring us together. But if there's this divisiveness going on, brother over here says, well, I've got my views on things, and says, oh, I've got my views on things, and then we attempt to write out some kind of a slickly worded document that's going to smooth everything over. Well, brothers and sisters, I need say no more. There are those sitting in the room here today that know about fellowship problems and shipwreck back east. May we take heed from these things and see to it that it doesn't come here. Because it did come there, and I can tell you 5 years ago, you would have laughed at anyone that said, watch it, that's where we could go. We would have laughed at them. Well, here we are, witnessing it. Do we care? Are we attentive? Do we ask ourselves, now what role do I have to play in this? Brothers and sisters, we need to really give it a lot of serious thought. To endeavor to keep the unity in the Spirit of God. The oneness that is the basis of all fellowship. Separation from the world, we can start right there. Relationships outside the brotherhood, outside the truth. Can we go there and expect God's blessings? No, we can't. That's just one small little aspect, but it's a mightily important one. Sons of God saw the daughters of men and they took them unto them their wives. It can't and doesn't work, brethren and sisters. Why do we try it? Why do we go down these roads? Decide, oh, well, there's some way we can make things work and we'll somehow or other it'll work. Not. The basis that we've looked at this morning from Scripture is the basis upon which all true fellowship takes place. To the glory and to the honor and to the righteousness of God Almighty. So may we seriously reflect upon the principles and the outworking of those principles that is vital to our having fellowship with the Father and with the Son and with the Ecclesia, brothers and sisters. May we resolve in the time that is left to us, we know not how much time we have left. May we resolve earnestly that we shall enrich the fellowship with our attitudes and our actions, our contributions in love to the unity and the oneness of mind and purpose and judgment that was exhibited fully and completely in the life of the one we now remember.